First of all, may I say thank you to the Dean for the invitation to preach here, and especially to the Commissioner and to Prebendary Jonathan for inviting me. I last preached at this service about 5 years ago, and remember the privilege it felt then and the privilege it feels today to be with those who do so much for us, to whom we owe so much. When I did that, I thought, well, I'll give it my best go. And I had what I thought was quite a funny story, which I used up. And I thought, I'm never going to be asked back again, and here I am. So I've used my one joke, so this is going to be a boring sermon, so just relax. The picture of Christmas, which is used in all the adverts and drawn straight from Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, is that of a happy family round a table covered in food. There is a beautifully decorated Christmas tree in one corner of the room. Large numbers of presents sit underneath. The family is smiling as the turkey, or in some ads, something vegetarian or vegan, is carved. For those of you on call or on duty over Christmas, it is unlikely that you will be called out to such scenes. No one around the table has much incentive to dial 999, apart possibly from the turkey. So let me paint two or three pictures that will be in my mind this Christmas, and then say something about why the carols, the trees, the gifts, the celebrations, the joy where we find it, are still entirely appropriate. First scene. A few weeks back, about 7 weeks, in a small city called Beni in North Kivu, the northeastern corner of the Democratic Republic of the Congo, there's been a war, low-intensity war, raging in that area for years, with about 70 different armed militia groups raiding, raping, and killing across a huge region. Now they have Ebola as well, the 10th outbreak in the Congo. It's been the second worst outbreak anywhere in the world ever, around 3,000 deaths. 150 health workers have died. I was there in October, landing in a small single-engine Cessna with some colleagues and local bishops, driving into the city, first to a cathedral packed with dancing and singing people who were worshipping Christ, then out to the Ebola treatment center and a couple of hours of going around talking to workers, talking to survivors who were working there to help, not least because, having had Ebola, they were ostracized by their own communities. And then the picture that's in my mind. A mother had fallen ill with the disease. Father was not around. So the whole family, with the young children, were in the transparent plastic tent in which they were treated, isolated. The mother was too ill to move, lying covered by a sheet on a bed. Three small children could be seen wandering around, youngest without clothes, with the older ones trying to care for him. The medical staff in full protective kit, and a survivor whose face we could be seen, because the survivor was not at risk, they were immune, sought to deal with the trauma and the illness. We were there on a Wednesday. The next day, the town was raided again and has been raided many times since. Some 300 people have been killed. The close protection team from the UN told me it had been heavily infiltrated by the armed groups, which were fighting 3 to 5 kilometers away. And they recognized many of such groups around us. And they've aimed for the treatment centers. Second picture, a hospice in Canterbury. I visited it every year on Christmas morning since I've been in this job, before everything else gets going in the day. It's become something of a tradition. They try and get everyone home apart from the most ill. Therefore, by definition, one sees is right at the end of their life. The rooms are warm, the patients are thin. Relatives sit with them. The staff are relaxed. The atmosphere has the reality of death. Yet it is overwhelmed, that reality, by the sense of overwhelming love, care, and hope. It is not a place of despair. It is a place of triumph. Third picture. 18 months ago, in the southern part of the Republic of the Sudan, small groups of refugees who've walked for days to get away from fighting further south, about 60 miles. Among them sitting by himself, a seven-year-old, separated from his family. He'd lost them, and he'd made his way, age seven. He's frightened, speechless, traumatized. We just sit with him, my wife and I, for a while. We can't speak his language, and he probably can't speak. I think of him so often, like those naked children and that mother. I don't know what has happened to any of them. They live in lands where there are none, like so many of you, none who run towards the trouble that others run from, none who put their lives between those who are potential victims and those who are the protectors, none who work so hard that we might worry so little. There are none like that. So why think of them here and now? Why such gloom at Christmas? It's simply this, that in the words of the old song, love came down at Christmas. The shepherds were held in contempt by many and feared by most. Well armed because of their occupation, not much loved because they trampled over crops, isolated because they lived in the hills. Yet this group of no-hopers, of troublemakers, of drunks and disorderlies, are the first to hear of the birth of Christ, the light and hope of the world that we celebrate today. They go and see the baby and they find hope. The breaking in of God into the darkest places of our earth, into the very heart of darkness. The baby is born in a way that cannot compel obedience or attention, but offers to all who turn to him the gift of life, of hope, of purpose, of forgiveness, of grace, of strength, of healing. Jesus says, when he's grown up, some 30 years later, that he came to bring life and to bring it in all its fullness. And how does that tie in with these pictures of suffering? It ties in because that little family in the Ebola treatment center was not abandoned, but loved and cared for by those who risked their lives doing so. Because in the hospice, a Christian initiative driven by the compulsion to love, because we are each loved by God, there is light and hope. Because that little child in Sudan was being taken in by those who'd never met him, never heard of him, and that were themselves driven from their homes with nothing. Love came down at Christmas. Jesus is God, who comes and draws us to him with the small, chubby hands of a baby, gripping at most one finger, as babies do, but with a grip that calls us throughout eternity towards the light of love, the transformation of life and the hope of the world to find peace, justice, and security. If you're on duty or on call this Christmas, this New Year, you will not be called to the happy family, but you will be called to places of darkness, of tragedy, and of grief. And yet, in those, whether you recognize it or not, you will be as close to God as any, because in that sort of place, Jesus was born, lived, grew up and died, rose from the dead, and alive today is present in all the brokenness, the horror and the darkness of this world, bringing hope, life, and light. Amen.